AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Mary Byrne, the singer and actor, is with me for the Thursday interview. Mary, great to see you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I know.
I only had a new knee last August, so I'm doing well with that.
Did you get a new knee?
I did, and I'm getting another one, hopefully next year. So,
how was that? How long are you out with a knee compared to a hip now?
I was laid up for nearly 3 months.
Okay.
I mean, when I say laid up, I could get up and walk around, but I couldn't really do an awful lot.
Yeah.
But it's 7.5 months now since I got it done. And for me, it's been the best thing ever.
You're like Steve Majors.
Yes. I feel like the bionic woman. But it's brilliant. But other than that, everything else is going great as well.
Yeah. Tell us about the show, the one woman show.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean,
Check Me Out is the name of it, I should say.
That's right. Yeah. Check Me Out. It's about my life.
Yeah.
And I did do a book with Eddie Rowley many, many moons ago. And we kind of, myself and Rob Murphy, who produced it and directed it, we got together and he interviewed me again and I gave him bits that I had put in the book and he put his own little swing on it to make it into a show for theatre. But the biggest surprise I got was walking out on the stage, and it was in the Civic in Tala, and I did 7 shows.
Mm.
And those 7 shows, I got 3 standing ovations every night. We cried, we laughed. Because, I mean, Rob Murphy has me doing some terrible things on that stage. I cannot reveal. You have to come and see it.
Oh, give us a hint. Go on. Give us one little terrible thing.
There's one particular area where I speak about when I lost my virginity.
Okay,
I won't say where because it'll ruin the surprise.
Okay.
There's a bit of theatrics involved,
I understand, in the revelation.
Yeah. But it is.
People are wondering, God almighty, what happens?
I'll have to come and see it. And no, to be honest with you, it was great. And do you know, I keep thinking, why do people want to hear my story? Because I'm like them. Because
yes.
I'm not unreachable. I'm there to be touched. I mean, afterwards as well, the amount of people that come up to me and said that they could relate to so many things in the, and they were crying with me. They were laughing with me. And I sing a load of songs. When I do a section, I do a song that will mean something to that section. So they have music, they've laughter, they've tears. And they just keep giving.
So what's the format for people? I mean, it's a lot of it's spoken word. You're telling stories and singing songs and it's kind of your life through
that. I start off talking and telling people, I start off singing actually. I sing This Is My Life. I start that song. And then I go straight into, you know, the reason I'm here and talk about menopause, the musical last year and the crash we had. And then I go into my childhood, where I was born, and then I go to the 70s when I was young and developing and, you know, leaving school and getting my first job. And from that then leads to another song about something. I'm not going to give the songs away because it'll just ruin everything. And then I go into another section and I talk a good bit there about different bits and pieces, about my first kiss, my first love, my virginity. And I sing another song there, which is funny. It's not a sad one. Then I speak about my parents, losing them. And then the second half of the show is X Factor time.
Yes.
And we have screens where we have me being told I'm true or I'm not true, you know, and it's the concept they've put it together with, I would never be able to do it on a stage. Rob Murphy is just a genius. He just took the whole little thing from the book, from his own head as well, and put the whole thing together. And it's just working for some reason.
And a recent love life in it as well?
Don't be asking me questions like that. No, not in that. No, not at the moment. There is something there, but it's not in the story.
It's not in the story. No. Go on, tell us about the recent love life.
No, I will not. I will not. This is not fair. You're asking me questions that I'm not supposed to answer. No, there's no love life at the moment. There's a little bit of fun happening, but nothing over, you know.
You're enjoying yourself anyway.
I am.
That's the main thing.
I'm 64 now and it's time for me to just enjoy life and get on with it and do what I want to do with life.
Yeah. So. You're happy at the moment.
I am. I mean, as happy as anyone can be.
Yeah. Deliriously happy all the time.
I'm in a better place than I was a couple of years back. I'm in a much better place. And I'm a little bit stronger now. And I've learned how to cope with life and how to cope with my mad thoughts that I get, because everyone knows I suffer with depression and paranoia and anxiety. And now I've learned how to cope with them. I've been given the tools to cope with them. Sometimes it's hard and most times it's not. I can push them away as soon as they come in, because they do come in.
Yeah. But you can identify, you know when they're coming now. You know the signs.
I know now. I mean, when they were happening to me, I had no idea. I blamed everyone else.
Yeah.
Everyone else was at fault. I was not at fault. Poor me. How dare anyone say it was me? Now I know that it's not me. It's what happens in my mind or my brain or whatever it is. And it's just something I have to live with for the rest of my life. And I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that. I'm settled with that. This is me. I can't change it. But what I can do is learn to control it and be happier.
And is there something, I'd imagine there's something liberating in that, and getting to that point.
Hugely, because all my life I've always had, and I still have low self-esteem, I still have a feeling that I'm not worthy of anything. And that's never going to leave me. And it, when I say it's never going to leave me, it's kind of on the side now, it's gotten smaller.
Mm.
But it is there. And I will always have that. I don't know why. Maybe it comes from my childhood. You know, I don't know what happened. Obviously, when I look back on my childhood, there are things that happened in it, silly things to other people, but to me were huge. So nothing like abuse or anything like that. Just, you know, things that happened.
Yeah.
And gave me an insecurity in myself. So I have that. That stays with me all the time. But it's now pushed back. It's not front all the time now. Now I know that I am worthy of what I'm doing and that I can do the things I do, and I'm okay doing them.
Yeah.
I'm not brilliant. I was never trained to act. But I can get out there and tell a story. I can get out there and make people laugh.
Mm.
You know, I can read a script. I left school at 12. I can't spell. But I can sit down. It will take me a lot longer than most people to get that script under my hat. But when I get it, it stays there for a long, long time. And that's something I've learned. I'm not stupid. I used to always tell myself I was stupid. I'm quite intelligent when I put my mind to it, when I'm not lazy.
It's funny the way you talk about things in your childhood. I think we've gotten better at realizing or recognizing that trauma is a kind of a subjective thing, isn't
yes.
it? It doesn't have to be in your mind. It's kind of these kind of awful cases of assault or abuse. It doesn't have to be that. It
could
be something. Two people could go through the exact same experience, or absolutely innocuous to one.
Yes,
water
exactly.
of a duck's back, and exactly. just kind of haunts the other for years.
But the one thing I've learned in the last couple of years since COVID and all that hit, I mean, you've time to, you know, reflect on everything, is that every single person has something that they don't like about themselves or that they feel is not right about themselves, and they deal with it in their own way. When I didn't realise that I had something about me that was going to explode, and it did. It hit the fan, and I lost control of everything. Other people can control that. Is that good? I don't know. Burying it inside is not a good thing either.
Mm.
But everyone has moments where they just don't feel good, and that's okay. It's okay not to feel okay, or to feel okay, not to feel okay. Yeah, that's right. But you can't wake up every morning and go, hey, hello, good morning, everybody. It's not life, and it's not human. We are habit. We are creatures of habit. We are creatures of different thoughts in our minds, and we will always have a day when we're down. Unfortunately for the likes of me and other people who suffer with what I suffer with, we will have them a little bit darker. But if you get the tools and you put your mind to it, it is a battle every day. It's a fight every day, but it's a good fight.
Yeah.
When you come out the other side, and that, say it starts at 10 in the morning when you're out of bed, or 9 in the morning, whatever time you get up at. And by 12 o'clock, you're out of it because you've spoke to yourself, because you've told yourself
okay. It could literally be like that. Wake up and the warning signs are there.
It's just not a day I want to be here.
And within a few hours.
Well, what I have to do now is I talk to the wall. I mean, I feel like Shirley Valentine every single morning.
Yeah.
Because when it happens, I go, now hang on a second here. And the wall is right in front of me. And I tell
the wall. You talk to the same spot on the wall.
The same spot on the wall. And I just tell that
wall. Is
there
something on? Sorry, I'm fascinated.
It's just
is there
a
something
plain
on
wall.
The wall? Just no.
Just a plain wall.
Just a plain wall.
I'll tell you a lie, there's a nail on the top
and
part.
And you talk to the nail.
I talk
to the
in
nail.
That direction, yeah. But it works. It works for me.
Yeah.
And I take antidepressants, which work for me as well. But I'm happy. I'm happier now than I ever was. But you know, not only am I happier because of my job and because of what I'm doing, I'm happier I've learned the real reasons behind why I am. And I'm happier I learned that it's okay to be me, and that I can work and live in this world with my demons that come in every so often.
You know, I said we're better at recognising kind of had trauma, subjective. What we're maybe bad at is not recognizing the reality of what you just said there, where it's okay to not feel okay. Yeah. There's this kind of attitude that, you know, if you're anxious or stressed or that there's something bad about it.
Yeah,
you know,
and that there isn't.
There's some sort of hack to be content or happy all the time.
Well, you know the way they say have a duvet day if you're feeling a bit low. Yeah, that's okay. Have that duvet day, but while you're feeling that low, constantly fight.
Yeah.
And constantly tell yourself what you have. And how nice you are and how many friends you have or your home, your roof over your head, your children, whatever. And still have your duvet day, but just keep saying, I'm okay. I need this. I need this comfort around me, but I'm okay. It's not, there's people worse off than I'll ever be in different countries. You know, I'm okay. Look at what I have, for God's sake. Get a grip of yourself. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. That's what I have to tell myself.
Because that's what you tell the Mayo.
It can really become self-pity. I'm not saying that's for everyone. For me, it can become self-pity. And then I wallow in that self-pity and everyone around me is against me.
And how then important as well in all of that, in that picture, is having a project, something that you're working towards as well.
And I would recommend this to anyone who is going through any sort of mental health to get out there and do something, even if it's painting or whatever hobby you have, or go for a walk. Most importantly, walking, swimming, just getting out and meeting people, or go on your own. If you don't want to be with people, walk the streets and let your mind clear.
Yeah.
I have my work, which keeps me going. And I'm also decluttering my home at the moment, myself and my daughter. So that's brilliant as well. That's cleared all the cobwebs out of the head.
Yeah.
And when I throw out something that I've had there for 20 years that I never put on in 20 years, I'm kind of, it's like, oh God, can I do it? And when it goes in the bag, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
It's an incredible feeling. Listen, I'm never going to be happy for the rest every day, but I'm feeling okay today.
Check Me Out is going around the country, isn't it?
It is going around the country. Listen, I can't believe, I mean, when it started, I thought it was just going to be in the Civic and Tala. And now I've been told it's travelling.
That's great.
I can't give dates because I haven't got the full dates yet.
Yeah.
It's still, like, there is places booked, but we have to wait until the proper time comes to release it all out. So I'm looking forward to it.
Did you watch Celebrity Big Brother?
I did.
Well, what do you think of Louis?
Oh, for God's sake. See that man. Listen.
You kind of got on with Louis, though, didn't you?
I never had a problem with Louis. I mean, look, the only way I can describe Louis is he can be a little woman when he wants to be. But then, so can we all.
Yeah.
You know, but he never did anything wrong on me. And if anything did ever happen, we would talk to each other.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the way he put the lads down, the Jedward.
Yeah.
There was no need for that vile language. And then to Ronan Keaton, who was a very, very nice guy. And to say what he said. But look, that's their business. I didn't like it. But you know what? The audience loved it. He was great television.
The producers loved it. I tell you, he's the shrewdest man in Ireland, Louis Walsh. I give you that.
He
knows exactly what those producers want.
He's good at what he does.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was television gold.
He was.
And he stayed until the end. So hats off to him. That's all I can say. Fair play to him.
So no details yet, but if people just keep an eye out, Check Me Out, we'll be appearing somewhere close to them.
It will be coming out within the next week or so.
Within the next week,
yeah,
okay.
Within the next week. And also, I'm in the middle, hopefully, of doing a country album that I always promised
you're like
my
Beyonce.
Father. I know, myself and B, you know, we're all right. No, but it's a country album I've always wanted to do for my father. He was a big, because years ago we used to listen to, you're far too young to remember this, Treble TR was the country radio that was here in Dublin. And every Sunday morning, my dad would call me and we'd listen to his little transistor radio and all the country songs. So he always said to me, if you ever do anything, make me an album. So that's what I'm doing.
Country album coming out for your dad. And keep an eye out, Check Me Out. In the next week or two, details will emerge of where Mary is going to be appearing up and down the country. Mary Byrne, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always.
Pleasure,
Mary. Thank you very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.